Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, just as the interest in UFOs and other phenomena start when you're very young, you're talking, Stan Gordon, about people whose experiences started when they were young. Now, is this related to abductions or what?
Well, this is where it gets a little confusing because of all the things that began to come out. And again, I can't give percentages because we never were able to get into doing the really, really detailed studies. But we found this was quite fascinating back many years ago when we started looking into the backgrounds of people and things they experienced in their family and their lives. But we found that a number of the people we interviewed, a lot of their experiences started from the time they were very young. Over the course of many, many years, not only did they have alleged encounters with UFOs, but sometimes they had encounters with other types of strange creatures. And sometimes it ran into generations of, you know, parents and grandchildren and children, and found it very, very interesting.
I was just going to ask, do you think that there's some sort of familial or genetic component that some types of people or bloodlines are more
Again, about the subject, you know, there's so many unanswered questions, so many things we don't have the answers for. But the question is also, a lot of these people over the years claim to have had, or in some cases, after they had, especially with some certain UFO events, they claim that they began to experience various type of psychic phenomena or type of ESP experiences, which in some cases these people claim they didn't have any of these experiences prior to that. One has to wonder, is there certain abilities that some of these people have that the phenomena is attracted to them, or they're able to perceive certain things that other people don't have the abilities to do? There's so many unanswered questions here.
Your description of groups of people and some of those people being able to perceive something unusual or some sort of phenomenal event and other people not being able to see it, I've actually run into that as well. Do you think that some of us have a special pair of glasses on, or some people maybe when they're faced with something so perturbing and inexplicable, maybe something shuts off in their cognitive function and they just almost will themselves not to see things?
Well, it seems like there is that possibility, and you know what I'm basing this on is the fact that a lot of these witnesses I kept track with for years and years after some of their initial experiences. I mean, there's some people even today I'm still in touch with from 30-some years ago. And it's just amazing the incidents that have happened, not to them, but to their children and even grandchildren. And a lot of these kids, I mean, they didn't share these experiences with their children. They just began to tell their parents about the strange things that began to happen with them over the years. Is there some type of ESP phenomena involved here? You know, are certain people able to perceive certain phenomena? Does the phenomena interact with certain people because they're more sensitive to certain phenomena going on? Again, I don't have the answers, but there are so many things here of interest we have to look at.
Well, this is the whole thing here, which is how do you train families where they may have children who are having these experiences to get the kids to open up? Because kids these days don't really open up as much to their parents as they used to. They're too busy with Facebook and Twitter and their games.
Well, I do get calls from people on occasion. I mean, I had one person contact me probably a few months ago, and this person has had some amazing events going back, probably late 60s, 70s. I've been in touch with them over the years on and off. And I know this past year, I guess one of her children contacted her. And these events are so personal and they're so unusual that I guess a lot of these kids feel they have to share and ask questions about it. And so it's something that, you know, over the years I've seen this happen with different people and different families. And sometimes these kids wait till years later before they even bring it up because they're afraid to bring it up and they want people to think they're crazy. So, but these things are out there. And I think the more people that are interviewed and the more you look at these subjects, the more you see there's a lot of common factors.
I've got a quick question here, too, that I wanted to ask before. It seems to me that the activity in Pennsylvania I mean, it's widespread. It's pretty much everywhere. But there do seem to be hotspot areas, as you mentioned, Chestnut Ridge, which is down on the border. What do you think makes these particular spots more prevalent, you know, people to have more sighting events? And there seems to be a more intense outbreak of these types of events that seem to be centered around particular location-specific areas. Well, have you given any thought to why that might be?
We've tried to look into it. I mean, we've looked at the geology of the areas, the history of the areas, and, I mean, like, through the Chestnut Ridge, there's an inactive earthquake fault, but nothing really going on out there. And I don't know. It's one of those areas. And, again, it's not one specific area. That mountain range is 100 miles long. The areas, especially out in Derry Township, outside of Latrobe, right along the base of the ridge is an area where there's been so many very intriguing Bigfoot encounters over the years. Almost yearly, we still get reports from those areas from different people. And up there in Fayette County, a lot of weird stuff going on in Fayette County, including last year, a dragon sighting, for a better term, happened up in that area, same area where there's been a lot of other Bigfoot activity going on. So there's a lot of strange things going on out there. And Pennsylvania has always had a history. I mean, from the Native Americans, and if you go back, there are multitudes of reports from the 1800s and newspapers of strange events going on and right up to the present time. And, of course, I was probably one of the only people in the country that for years and years was actively investigating, taking calls from the public since 1969. So there was a place in Pennsylvania where people could report a case and would be investigated for many years, and that's something most states didn't have.
Excuse me, Stan, before we go on, I also need to be aware when we get towards the end of a segment, I'm going to have to break, and I'm not being rude. I just have to do it. I need to ask a few questions. All right, first thing here. Back to what you dropped in very quickly before, and that is dragons, a report about a dragon. I mean, I've just been holding back here because you were just going on and on. But you've got to tell us about that. We've only got a couple of minutes left for this segment, so maybe start here, and then we'll continue with our next segment. Stan?
Okay. Well, among the cryptozoological creatures that we get reports on in Pennsylvania, and there's quite a lot. We get a lot of reports that, for a better term, we call them Thunderbird sightings. And I'm sure Chris is familiar with that. We got a lot of reports of these giant birds with massive wingspans. And some are just like huge birds, but some are described more like giant bats and other like prehistoric birds, like pterodons, for example. And this one is an interesting one. I mean, the witness was very credible. This was March 18th of last year up in the southern part of Fayette County, way, way up in the mountainous area up there. And the guy's walking his dog around 11:45 that night. He's in the front yard, and all of a sudden he hears like this whooshing sound coming from overhead. So he looks up, and about 55 feet above him, here's this large creature. He said, for a better term, he said it looked like a dragon. And he said it passed over a dusk to dawn light, and he got a really good look at this thing. He said the body was about 22 feet long, and he had a wingspan that he estimated at about 18 feet wide. And the body looked shiny, like almost a reflective body with no scales. And he said the color was kind of a pus, like brown, red, or like an auburn brown. And at the tip of the wings, there appeared to be talon-like figures, about 3 to 4 in number. The arms of the wing structure appeared muscular. The wings were quite thick and not like skin. And there appeared to be a rear fin on both sides of its body, and the creature displayed an arrowhead-shaped tail. The witness saw what appeared to be 2 extended rear legs, and the head, it had a cone shape around the head, and it's fell flat on the base of the neck. But he said the oddest part of the whole thing was, in the area around the mouth and the eyes, it was illuminated with a very ominous orange glow. And as the creature flew over the trees down the bottom of the yard, as it moved off in the distance, he heard this very deep, throaty sound, he said, similar to a foghorn on a boat. So that's just one of a number of really weird cases came to my attention last year. We can talk more about that.
I certainly want to do that because we want to focus more on the more recent cases. And for a second, when you were talking about the Conehead, I was thinking of, oh, the Conehead's from Saturday Night Live, but we're not talking about that kind of shape and that kind of cone. But I just wanted to drop in that. We have Stan Gordon, who has been studying UFOs and other paranormal phenomena in Pennsylvania for a number of years. He's collected a wealth of strange, unusual cases, and some, of course, happened this past year. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we welcome back Stan Gordon. We're exploring all those incredible cases in and around Pennsylvania all these years. But before we go on with the more recent cases, creature sightings and everything, Stan, just very briefly, do you find in your investigation that Pennsylvania seems to attract more of this stuff than other states?
I really can't say that. Again, there's been a long history of these things happening in Pennsylvania. Again, I'm probably one of the few people to really actively investigate and get reports on these events going on. So there's a place that people report to, as they have for many, many years. And I think a lot of people in this area of the country who are aware of what I'm doing, they're more open to the possibility of discussing this with somebody because they know I'll keep their names confidential if that's what they ask for. And they just want to share the information, try to find out, like, were they the only ones that experienced this type of thing? And you know, talking about the Dragon Report, it's very similar to some of the sightings report, I believe, in Iowa around 2003, I believe it was, in other areas. So it's not a unique case.
Now, the recent cases that you explored in 2012, what level of media coverage did they receive?
Very little, and mainly it's because most of the people didn't want any publicity. They didn't go to the newspapers. And I would say 99% of the cases that people report to me, there's very little publicity on, except, you know, I might mention on my website, there's other things that might be covered different places, but the majority of reports you won't see in the local newspapers around here, because most people don't call the newspapers about it.
And besides which, how many local newspapers do they have left anymore?
You'd be surprised, especially up in this part of the state. We still have a lot of locals. Some are dailies, some are weeklies, but there's still quite a lot of newspapers still in this general area. And I can tell you why there's not a lot of reports of individual sightings. You know, over the years, I have had very, very good coverage from the local newspapers who have actually been very supportive of my investigations and research. And so actually I've been very thankful over the years of the really good support that I've had generally from the media in this area.
Chris?
I was going to say that that indicates to me that these people are having real experiences. Oftentimes the people that have some sort of need for recognition or have some sort of worthiness issues maybe in their life, they're the ones that tend to go running to the local paper and touting their story. And when you see people that are willing to divulge details of unusual experiences to someone that they know and respect as a researcher and investigator, that to me adds legitimacy to their accounts. And, you know, I've always felt that on the East Coast, there's no other state that rivals Pennsylvania in terms of the kind of data that's being compiled, because Stan, you're the guy there. Stan's the man. And you need to have a person like a Stan Gordon in a particular area of your state or region of the country in order to document this stuff. A lot of these types of incidences undoubtedly, you know, just are blown away by the by the wisps of time, because the data is not logged. And I really, you know, out of all the investigators that I've come in contact with over the years, Dan, you are the most dogged and dedicated out of anybody out there. And I really, I mean that. I'm not just blowing smoke at you. I really do admire and appreciate the quality of work that you've done. And you know, it would be great to see some sort of handbook from Stan Gordon for aspiring investigators of do's and don'ts and rules of thumb and that sort of thing. And it'd be great maybe if several of us got together and threw some ideas around about how to properly train people at a distance, how to become an effective networker, researcher, and investigator. I don't know of anyone that has done the amount of field work that you've done, and I doff my hat to you, man.
Well, I do appreciate that very much, and like I said, it's going on 54 years. I can't hardly believe it myself. I've seen a lot of really interesting evidence out in the field over the years, and you know, talk about training, there's a lot involved, because when I had my earlier research groups, and we had a lot of these specialists in the group, we would actually do like training programs. I mean, we had former military intelligence people, law enforcement people, and we would learn the techniques of how to interview. We would learn how to make casts under different type of weather conditions. We would go through a lot of training. About a bunch of our guys were trained by the civil defense at that time as radiological monitors, and we had a lot of radiation equipment at the time. And it just took a lot of ongoing, regular involvement to get people out there who were trained to deal with these type of reports. And, you know, it's very unfortunate that still today there's no funding for this type of thing. And it looks like there's just not a lot of really detailed scientific investigation going on around the country.
No,
there's lots of groups out there now, a lot of individual researchers, but there's not that many that are really, really involved in depth to go out in the field to investigate.
Stan, this creates the impression here that maybe there would be an equal number of sightings per capita per number of people in the population, whatever, in a lot of other states if there were only people like you following up on them?
Well, you know, even though I deal mainly here in Pennsylvania, I get calls here pretty much every day from across the country, from people from many states who have had past incidents or even recent incidents. Mainly, a lot of more with UFOs and crypto phenomena, but I do get calls on those as well. But my feeling is, just talking to other researchers around the country, is that there's probably a lot, there's a lot of activity out there that people just don't know about. And, you know, you got to remember, it was a lot different back in the late 60s and early 70s when I was one of the few, except for some major groups in the country, where people could find a report. We had no internet back in those days. So today, you know, there are so many different individuals or groups around the country that people can report to, but a lot of those reports get lost because you never hear about them.
One problem you have, Stan, is that with so many resources and the scattered nature of the internet, you have a vast amount of information, but it's not all put together. It's just fragmented.
Yeah, it's not collated and coordinated.
Exactly, and that's a shame, but it's unfortunate. And you know, there's no one repository, for example, for all the UFO cases that are reported. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of cases out there, and it's unending. It's unending. And these reports, even the cryptozoological cases, just fascinating. Some of these things are coming in. But anyhow, you know, I wanted to bring up to you about all these creatures we're talking about now. We'll be talking about more. You know, we get these reports of these giant birds and strange flying cryptids. We get reports of Black Panther sightings here in Pennsylvania, we had a small outbreak of sightings here in the summer where I interviewed various people in different areas who were within 30-some feet of these creatures in daylight and were scared to death. And, of course, they're not supposed to be around here, and there's a long history of them in Pennsylvania. All kind of other things, from aquatic creatures to, you know, the flying things, to all kind of other entity reports we get. Here's another great report, if you want me to read to you, from April 23rd of last year.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you to basically hold off on that, because we're going to break for a segment in a moment. We're going to break for a little bit of business so our benefactors can help us and help the show prosper. And then we'll get back to that, because you have a lot of interesting cases, UFO and creature reports, during the last year, and you're going to refer to some of them. I also want to ask you about the April 4th case, where you had a UFO with square windows. That's got to be curious. We have Stan Gordon joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so So the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Stan Gordon joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we're covering not just case histories, but how we deal with them. You were about to bring up one particular case in Pennsylvania for 2012, and I'll ask about the second case. Stan?
Okay, this was an interesting event happened down in Washington County. This was April 23rd, between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning. So here's a rural area. Again, many of these cases are in rural areas. Man hears this unusual animal sound coming from outside. He said it was like a growl or a screeching sound, but he had never anything like it before, and he listened for about 5 minutes. Then he decided he was going to awaken his wife so she can listen to it as well. And so they're both sitting there listening to this thing. The sound seemed as though it was originating from very close by, like right outside of the house, outside of the window somewhere. So they look out the window. And across the road, there's this little creek. And they realized there's something standing up in the middle of the creek, but they couldn't see it very well. They said, it looked something like a deer, but this thing's standing up. And it was dark brown. And it could have been larger than a deer because it looked like it may have been peering over the retaining wall. And he said, when the creature turned its head, it appeared to have an elongated face. Not as stubby as in the snout as a deer would be. It appeared to be more pointed in shape. But what was very unusual was this thing looked directly at them towards the window in the home. And they saw what appeared to be two big, round, amber-colored eyes that seemed to be glowing, about the size of a golf ball. And he said there wasn't any really close streetlights in the area that would give any type of reflective effect that would cause anything like that to glow. So anyhow, the guy decides, I don't know what's going on, but I want to go across and see what this thing is. So he's about to ready to go outside when suddenly they watch as this thing takes one step and it takes off into the sky at a 45-degree angle. And the guy said it was unbelievable. He said the speed was insane. That's exactly what he said to me. He said, I never saw him moving so fast. This thing shot up into the sky and was gone. And he said he never saw any indication of any wings on this thing. It just rose up and was gone. And, I mean, these are very credible people.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just one of so many weird, weird cases that are coming in. And, in fact, I'm going to be next weekend down here in Cabela's in West Virginia. There's a free, actually, it's a three-day event on basically cryptozoology, believe it or not, and unusual animals of the woods. And Jeff Meldrum will be coming in to speak. I'll be speaking. Eric Altman from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society and some others. It's open to the public. If they go to my website, stangordon.info, under event, they can look at that. And we're going to be talking about all kind of cryptozoological events. And I do get some interesting cases from nearby states like West Virginia as well. And, you know, talk about these giant bird reports. And this was not that old. I mentioned this in my one book, Really Mysterious Pennsylvania. This was one of the better, for better term, Thunderbird sightings. And, you know, with Thunderbird reports, just like UFOs, when something's seen in the sky at a distance away, it's very difficult to judge any size and distance. But in a lot of the cases I have, these things were at very close range, and there were ways to get a pretty good idea what the wingspan was. And one of my favorite cases happened in the fall of 2007 outside of Clendenin, West Virginia. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and again, as you look at these reports, a lot of these are daylight reports or, again, very close range. So this man's driving down a road, two-lane rural highway, and all of a sudden he has to hit his brakes because right in the middle of the road there's this huge bird that's eating some roadkill and blocking the roadway, so he has to hit his brakes hard from hitting it.
I have to worry about the diet of that big bird.
Well, after you hear the description, the thing must be eating a lot of roadkill out there. But he's watching this thing, and he said, it's amazing because this thing stood at least 4 feet tall because the head extended above the roof line of his vehicle. And he got a really good look at this thing. He said the head was dominant but not overly proportioned to the body. The head was featherless and separated from the rest of the body by a prominent yellowish-orange collar or plumage. The body was dark brown or black feathers. But he goes on to give a really detailed description of this, including the eyes were dark in color. But he said what was most amazing was this massive wingspan, which easily was as wide as a two-lane road. And he said he actually went back the next day to measure it. It was 21 feet across. And he said the wings were, as he could remember, as arms of a human are attached. He had its shoulders, it had a very muscular upper torso, and the wings were as if they were its arms. He said, what was really interesting is that we both startled each other, it seems, where it looked at him as though it was in shock that it was startled that it was being seen. And the bird ran off from the cars and was going to try to fly off in a really awkward manner. It ran jumping from one foot to the other in a hopping manner while its wings were flapping to gain speed to take off. And then finally did get airborne and it did take off. So this guy, after a while, went to the library and began to try to find something similar. He said the closest thing he could find was a pterothorn, which, of course, is a prehistoric bird that should have been extinct. We hear other similar cases of this even the last few years across Pennsylvania.
Well, that's just very interesting how we get this kind of missing link phenomenon. But I wanted to segue to this other case because it just caught my eye. This is in your report entitled Pennsylvania Besieged with UFO and Creature Reports During 2012. And that is during the early morning hours of April 4th, 30, 40-foot diameter metallic saucer-shaped object with square windows. Tell me more.
Yeah, that's a long report, and I should try to see if I have it. Let me go from what I can remember here. Actually, what was intriguing was just a few hours before, a report came in from down around Lancaster. I guess that's down to your old stomping grounds on that area of Pennsylvania. As I recall, it was a husband and a wife observed this object hovering over a field, this like a disc. And they had a camera, and they took one picture of it. They tried to get a picture of it. It didn't come out, apparently, but there was a flash. And this thing apparently started to pursue their vehicle. And it came within 20-some feet, hovering right over top of their car. A few hours later, in a suburb of Pittsburgh, this is a populated area, Bloomfield area, Pittsburgh, about 12:15 in the morning, this young fellow was leaving a neighbor's house, which was close by, and he was walking over to his home, and he happened to trip on a tree branch, but he tripped on something out there. A root, I think it was of a tree, as I recall. And he happened to look up, and here's this large object, about 30 or 40 feet in diameter, hovering about 30 feet above the roof of his home. He said it was a kind of a saucer shape with a metallic brownish silver color. There appeared to be approximately 34 feet in diameter, with a row of continuous square to slightly rectangular windows encircling the entire rim.
You're reading this from your report, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I kind of like it better if you just tell us in your own words, but that's fine.
Okay, so anyhow. Yeah, so it's about 30, 40 feet in diameter with continuous row windows. There's blue and red lights on it. And but also what he talked about was that there was like six fin-like structures extending down from the underside. And also he saw what he described as symbols or markings, like triangular symbols on the lower part of the object. Well, anyhow, he watched this thing, and it suddenly took off up into the sky. And he said that it did not just disappear or fade away in the distance, but he said it was like a swirl or like a tunnel opened in the sky and it went into it. And then that tunnel closed around it and it disappeared. And he said when it closed, there was like a large patch of haze, like a glowing robin's egg blue color in the sky. So he ran inside and got his dad. He came out and they could still see that in the sky. And I think they got another neighbor, another person came out and watched it as well. And what's very interesting, as I recall, within that 24-hour period of that, the 3rd and the 4th, there were a number of other reports across the state, including other people seeing the strange, what they call like a vortex of light in the sky that was somewhat similar to what they described.
All right. This is something that I'd like to ask you more about, this vortex in the sky. It's kind of like almost a dimensional portal, because I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of some of the science fiction shows that depict this, like Primeval, a British show that involve creatures and people going back and forth between universes. And I guess the question I want to frame, and we'll have you answer it in the next segment, are there other cases where a UFO has disappeared into something like a vortex or something like that? What kind of phenomenon is this? We have Stan Gordon joining Gene and Chris. And guess what, folks? You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Stan Gordon, and I framed a question to Stan about this UFO from April 4th disappearing into a vortex, and Chris had something to add before we get Stan's answer.
Yeah, Stan, it is kind of fairly reminiscent of the aperture sort of opening in the sky over the Sherman Ranch up in Utah that was witnessed by any number of people, including some scientists who were studying phenomena up there, where it was almost like a camera aperture opening. Craft would come in. Most of the time, craft were seen entering into this particular reality, if you will. But you're describing craft leaving. How many examples of this type of observation do you have in your database?
Well, I have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of cases here in Pennsylvania. And I can tell you, that's something extremely rare. That I just cannot think right off the top of my head. I know I've had some, but it's probably been years and years. It's not something that we hear about that often, I can tell you that. What is kind of interesting, and again, it's not that common. Occasionally I hear it, but going back to the Chestnut Ridge, again, an area where there's a lot of everything from giant bird reports to Bigfoot sightings to UFOs and all kind of weird stuff, going back to the 60s of underground sounds and openings in the side of the mountain, allegedly, and weird stuff. I, on occasion, have had people tell me that they came across some type of swirling vortex up on top of the ridge, like an opening in a portal. Again, there's no way to prove these stories, but occasionally you hear about these type of things. But once again, the answer is very rarely have I heard those reports that I can think of.
So if it happens, we don't see it.
Well, again, many cases of these things taken off at an amazing high rate of speed. They're here 1 second, they're gone the next. That's very common. So many people will call in with seeing something moving across the sky, accelerating, and be gone in seconds. That's something that's very, very common. But also something else, you know, we're talking about all these cryptozoological creatures, and there's many more cases we can talk about. And whether we're talking about Bigfoot sightings or giant birds or black panthers or this glowing thing, and I'll tell you another really fascinating case of this winged humanoid entity was reported north of Pittsburgh in 2011. Another interesting report. So the question is, where do these things come from and where do they go? Because in all these cases, and again, after we eliminate hoaxes, misidentifications, then you got some of these really good cases here we still look at and wonder what people are seeing. The point is, when these things happen, they're never found. Where do they come from and where do they go? And as with some of the Bigfoot cases we had talked about earlier, the suggestion is that we're dealing with phenomena that have a physical and a non-physical aspect to it. you know, are we dealing with something that, for a better term, interdimensional, that under certain conditions it can appear and disappear, and are there certain places in the country that the conditions are right, that these things happen more frequently? Again, so many things we don't have the answers for, but it sure makes you wonder.
I think that's a very good observation. And you mentioned briefly in passing flying humanoid reports, just for your own knowledge and for our listeners. There have been an outbreak of flying humanoid reports in the San Luis Valley over the past 2 years. Have you had reports of flying humanoids? And if so, could you describe them?
Well, let me tell you about this one case you might find quite interesting. This is occurred March 18th of 2011. This is up in Butler County, which is north of Pittsburgh. It's an area that I've been looking into cases of the 60s up there. It's another county with a huge, tremendous amount of history of all kind of stuff, from UFO landings to entity cases to weird stuff. And I've just been told in the last few weeks from people up in that area that there's a lot of weird activity going on in recent weeks and months of their Bigfoot activity and whatever. But anyhow, March 18, 2011, early morning hours, this businessman's riding down the road between Chicor and East Brady. And he said this was the freakiest thing he ever saw, that it made the hair stand up in the back of his neck. And he's telling me how he's driving down the road. He's about a quarter mile away, and he sees something on the right side of this grassy area. And his first thought is it's got to be a deer. So he steps on the gas, turns on his high beams, get a better look, and he gets closer. And then all of a sudden he sees this huge, muscular creature that was hunched down stands up. And the headlight hits this creature, which is walking out in front of one of those big yellow reflective road signs. So he gets a great look at this thing, and it crosses the two-lane road, the three long steps, and goes on, disappears into the woods. But he said, what he told me was this. He said, I hear people saying about Bigfoot around the area. He said, I've never seen a Bigfoot. This was not a Bigfoot, he said. This was a tall humanoid figure that stood at least 8 foot tall and appeared to be covered in a smooth leather-like skin that was either dark tan or light brown in color. And this thing was moving sideways. The thing never looked at him. He was looking at it from the left side. And he said the head appeared to be flat, and it had the shape like one of those aerodynamic helmets. The face was flat. The eyes were not defined well. He thought the one ear he saw on the left side looked long and flat and came up and back, was pointed backwards like a flap. And the arms were muscular, a little longer than that of a human, and now they looked more like a claw or had claws on them. And he said the one thing that really stood out was its legs were extremely muscular. And he said it was hard to explain, but the legs didn't move like that of a human. They looked more like they were bent backwards. And he said he saw what appeared to be wings on its back that were tucked into its body with the wingtips extending towards the side of its head. He only saw this thing for about 7-8 seconds. He went back the next day to look for tracks, but the ground wasn't very good. He couldn't find anything. But he said he measured the sign. It was over 8 feet tall. So this thing was a little bigger, maybe 8'4" tall altogether. So more interestingly, there's a local research group up there called the Buffalo Organization of Research of the Unexplained. So Dan Hagman runs that group. During that same time period, he received other independent reports from different people. Now, I'm going to have to quote right from his report. They're short, the statements from people, but right around that same time, Clipper's Corner, two witnesses driving a Buffalo when it witnessed a dark tan, 8 foot tall winged entity. Face appeared smashed in, muscular body, head that went to a point. Arms were long, appeared to have claws or fingers. When it crossed the road, it seemed to lope with each stride. Witness stopped the car in shock and sat there until another car came by and they moved. Witnesses wanted to take a lie detector test. Here's another one. Two witnesses left the ice cream stand, headed for Reimersburg, noticed something crossing the road, came within 35 feet of the creature, stated it was at least 9 feet tall, dark brown, long arms and broad shoulders, pointed head, flat forehead, pointed ears, what appeared to be wings on its back. Body was extremely muscular. There were four finger-like claws in each hand. Eyes were squinted but swept upwards at the corners. As the creature turned, the whole body would turn. Movement of the arms were not normal. The mouth looked like a slit. Wings looked like a see-through mesh when he said with wings on a bat. The claws were black as coal. The witness stated this thing was straight from hell.
Do you have any reports of it flying?
No. But there apparently was a report of something somewhat similar several years ago on a bridge in that area that flew off the side of the bridge. Then another
now, what county is this again? What county are we talking about?
That's Butler County.
Butler County, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to get my bearings. That's what, north of Pittsburgh, you said?
Correct.
Okay. Wow, amazing stuff. We've had over a dozen fairly good sightings over the past 2 years of actual flying humanoids, including the very first minute that we had the San Luis Valley camera feed up. Our chief tech, Andrew Palfreyman, fired the thing up for the first time, and he witnessed what he described as two flying humanoids flying across in front of the Great Sand Dunes. He was all the way out at extreme 36 times optical zoom, and it was difficult for him to estimate size, but seeing birds, you know, in the months after that, seeing birds flying around and seeing mundane sort of prosaic flying activity around there, he estimated them to be about humanoid size and sitting in a seated position and flying like they had jetpacks or something on their backs, almost like something out of some sort of sci-fi movie or something. Obviously, they were quite a distance away from him. He figured 18 to 20 miles, but with 36 times optical zoom on top of a tower, you're able to get a fairly good view of these things. I would really be interested to hear of some of these types of humanoid creatures as reported as flying, and I'm sure you're aware of some of the late 90s reports from Mexico and I think a couple in South America, where these types of, as they would describe, witches were flying around. Why don't you go ahead and continue with some of the more recent reports that you've received and kind of, you know, make an effort to identify where in the state we're talking about.
We'll do that in our next segment. We have Stan Gordon, UFO investigator from Pennsylvania, exploring UFOs, strange creatures, and all sorts of stuff, and I hate to see one of those things in my back lawn. So we're not exploring the ones that happened in the Phoenix area because...
We'll stick them on, Gene.
You'll send me one, okay. And I'll leave very fast. You want to get rid of me? That's the way to do it. Send me a UFO or a strange creature or a Thunderbird. We have Stan Gordon joining Gene and Chris. You're in...
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.